In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good morning. I'm sure you noticed in your preparation for this week, the readings are kind of broken up. The gospel reading takes a big jump, and it seems almost random to some level, and it skips over some familiar stories. So the beginning part of the gospel reading is actually the opening of the story of the feeding of the 5,000, which in Mark is then followed by Jesus walking on water. And all that is kind of cut out this morning. So we get this intro to the feeding of the 5,000, the gathering back of his disciples, of the apostles. And then we jump over all of these things, and we end up with them in Gennesaret. On the other side. So they've obviously crossed over again, which we would know if we knew that Jesus had walked on water in between there somewhere. Now, I have to tell you, normally, when I look at the lectionary and I see a big hole like that, my instinct is to go to the hole that they left and find out, what are we skipping over? You know, are we being polite? Is there something very difficult here that we don't want to talk about, or that, you know, maybe people would find too difficult? But in this case, that isn't what's happened. So in most cases, I'm not a big fan of skipping over things. But in this case, I think it's very helpful. So you can let everybody know that Father Brian has actually agreed with the lectionary people and think that this is useful. It's pretty rare, I know. But I don't agree with much. I'm very disagreeable. But I think in this process, what has happened is this allows us to discover something about the people. Those stories are clearly about Jesus and miracles. But these two little pieces together tell us something about the people that Jesus and his disciples have been engaging with. And I think it's going to be important for us to hear that. And when I say we, you know I mean me. I just like to drag you in with me. So we begin in this verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. So right away, we know something has happened, so we have to go back and look, right? Well, what did they do? So we have to actually go back to verse 12. Don't worry, I'm not going to bring you all the way back through verse 12. Just back to verse 12. So Jesus has sent them out on their mission, two by two, told them to go with basically nothing and, you know, go do what I tell you to do. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. So this is what they just came back from. Jesus sent them out to do this, and they've just come back, and they're gathering around Jesus, telling him about what they had done. And he says to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Sounds good, right? Just got back from mission. Sit down with the boss. He says, "You know what? Good work. Let's take some time together and sort of debrief all this and relax." So they get in the boat, and then something happens. As they get into the boat, now many saw them going and recognized them. And they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. Wonderful, right? I mean, that's just what we want to discover. You know, we go away to be by ourselves and find out somebody is already there. Potentially even the people we're trying to get a little break from, which is exactly what happened. Now, I'm sure when we think about that as ourselves, we're maybe not immediately thrilled with that concept. If we were going away very specific for something, to take a very specific time we had planned for, to step away from our work and those around us, and we arrive and find out they were so excited to see you going, they went ahead and got there before you. But Jesus responds differently. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them. He saw that they had come. They must have been, I don't know, maybe there wasn't a lot of wind, so it took them longer to get there by boat, I don't know. but they manage to get there ahead of him, and he has compassion on them when he sees them. And why? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So here these people have come, sort of almost randomly, you would think, just because they recognized them, and they followed along on the shore. I mean, they were really looking for something, weren't they? They made no plan. I mean, I can just imagine the people gathering, you know, maybe started out with about six people talking. They went, isn't that Jesus and his disciples? Yeah. Where do you think they're going? I don't know, but I bet if we head that direction, we'll be wherever they're going. And they took off. And I can just imagine other people going, where are you guys going? Well, we saw Jesus going this way, so we're going this way. And people just jumped on board. And we know that this is just before the feeding of 5,000, so we know they didn't do what? Prepare. They made no preparation. They just, whatever they were doing, they sort of dropped it and they took off. And we know that they had to go with some haste if they got there ahead of him. And they, when they get there and then Jesus comes ashore, he has compassion on them because they clearly have no direction. They are like sheep without a shepherd. So here they are with absolutely nothing to sustain themselves. They're out in the middle of nowhere, we understand. And it's not like they're going to run over to the 7-Eleven or call in for a pizza. There's just nothing there for them. And Jesus, first thing he does, he teaches them. He'll get to the food later. But he's giving them the food, the real food. He's having these thoughts. They need some direction. So that's what he does. Interesting for his disciples. Here they've just dedicated this time of going out and doing the work that God anointed them to do. And then they return to find out probably the most important thing they'll ever know and the most important thing any of us should ever know. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, it is no longer about you. It is about him and his people, then you, if you're lucky. So often the church in our society, we go looking to satisfy us. But we're the church. If all we do is come to church to satisfy us, then the church never grows. Because nobody's reaching out to the people, by the way, who are still wandering without a shepherd. See, we have a shepherd, amen? We know who our shepherd is. We know the good shepherd. The one who would go and collect just one. That's who we follow. And that's who we know. That's our guide. That's where we gain our direction, through his word and through his teaching and through the transformation of his grace. We know which way we need to move. We may not do it well, and we may not always do it, but we do know. Jesus is talking to some people in this passage that don't know that. They're discovering something because of what they've seen him do and what they've heard him teach, and they want more of it. But see, we're on this side of the cross, amen? So on this side of the cross, we have people still in this world that have no shepherd. Now, the church doesn't exist to become the shepherd. The church exists to point to the shepherd. We are here to tell others who we follow and how and why, and then share his teachings. That which we have been taught, we now move and share with others so that they can come to know and find their shepherd. Now, it's a little more difficult in this day and age in our society. I come to this process of being in full-time ministry, vocational ministry, a little different than others. So I bring all my own stuff. You probably saw some of it already. But some of it's good and some of it's not. But I come with a different perspective. I come with the perspective of knowing what it's like to live your life without the shepherd. I know what it's like to be a sheep without a shepherd. I know what it's like to be lost and broken and damaged. And I know yet one more aspect of it. I know what it's like to turn to the world to find my guidance. And I also know, brothers and sisters, that when you do that, you won't find it. What you will find is worldly direction that will only point you to the world and worldly things, which ultimately do what? Die. See, the things of this world will all come to an end. Every aspect of it will come to an end. We need guidance from the one who knows, the one who is the creator of all things, the one who has brought us in and invited us in and adopted us in through his very body and blood into a life abundant and a life eternal. But we chase after this life so often and so easily. We chase it, don't we? And again, when I say we, I mean me. I just like to drag you along with me. And so easily in that process, we can become lost. There's a whole world out there without a shepherd. A whole world. Looking for something more. Some real guidance in their lives. We're the church. We're the ones who point to the shepherd. We're the ones who carry the teachings as we've received them. It matters. It matters. In my world, there's incredible opportunity to come to know people in ways that not a lot of people get to know people. As a priest, people invite me into the depth of their struggles in their life. And it's a huge privilege, by the way, to have that opportunity to walk with somebody in when they're really dealing with the core of their being. It doesn't happen a lot in the world, does it? Yeah, there's this wonderful thing out there called Facebook. I don't know if you're familiar with it. You probably need to know that although your priest has a Facebook page, don't take it personally if you've made a friend request and I haven't seen it because, you know, a few years ago I just kind of quit. I went on there once since I came here so I could change my place of work. I had to step away from it. I had to step away from the social media stuff. And I know that sounds terrible in a church that is all about technology, but it's painful. It's painful to see people presenting themselves as perfection when you know they're not. Now, don't panic, because I'm not on Facebook. If you're doing that, don't worry, I haven't seen it. But some other people should be worried, but they probably won't hear this. But it gets to this point where you know the depth of the brokenness and the struggle of the family and the way and things are coming apart in their life. And then you look on Facebook and boy, it looks good, right? I mean, this is what social media has really done for us. We'll present ourselves in the very best way. Someone here helped me out recently doing the selfie thing, telling me, well, you gotta make sure you take the selfie from up here. I said, oh yeah? And I said, well, you know why you do that? I learned something. That's right, yeah, that's when I get one chin. If I do a selfie from here, I only have one chin, which is pretty good. I haven't had just one chin in a very long time. So, Rachel, thank you for that, that input. The young adults are still helping out. So, you know, this is the way in which you can sort of perfect yourself and get it out there on social media. But we're really hiding something, aren't we? We're really hiding something. I mean, if you know me, you're going to know, well, I've seen him. He's got like three chins. He's only got one there. But it gets worse, right? It almost can become a tool of just faking it. You know? You say, what's all this have to do with the readings? And let's jump to verse 53. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was and wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms. They laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. So I said earlier, I think separating these verses tell us something about the people. It tells us that there was a group of people who had just barely gotten to know about Jesus, and they just took off walking with absolutely no food or water or any understanding of where they were going, and they went just in hope of being where he was going to be. Then we have this other group of people who knew him, recognized him, and saw him, and they immediately went and started to gather up those who were sick, and they begged him to heal them. These people, brothers and sisters, were desperate, weren't they? But more importantly, what we should be able to hear from them is they were desperate and unashamed to go after the shepherd, the one who would guide them and lead them to the place of wholeness and completeness and healing and eternal life they would discover. They were desperate and unafraid. How often do we feel desperate and yet won't show it because we're afraid somebody else might see us as desperate and think of us as less than? How many people won't even walk into a building like this because they think everyone in here has already got it together? That's funny, right? But isn't that what the world thinks of the church? Well, I can't go to the church because I don't have it together. I got to wait till I get it together, then I can go in there and be among those people, you know, those holy ones. My goodness. When we started our healing ministry down in Bradenton, one of the healing ministers came to me and said, "Oh my goodness, what is wrong with the people who come here?" I said, "Well, what do you mean?" She goes, "Is anybody normal?" I said, "Well, but you said you wanted to be a healing church." "Yeah. Well, who did you think Jesus was going to send? When the church throws the doors open and say, 'Bring us your sick, your weary, your broken, your sinful,' guess who shows up?" Yeah, us. Yeah, if you want perfection and quiet and everyone just so, man, there are a lot of churches like that, amen? Well, they're good at faking it anyway. Yeah, they're getting their picture out there and saying, "This is us, we're good." We're not. We're just not. We're broken. We're hurting. We're damaged. We're sinful. But we do know who our guide is. See, the world is broken, damaged, and sinful. And if we, brothers and sisters, the church, don't go to them with the message of who can bring them to the place that they seek, the one who can fill that hole that they have in their lives, if it isn't us, then who? Who will they follow? So I want you to hear a few things from these readings. I want you to hear, be desperate enough to just chase after Jesus with everything you got, even your brokenness and your wounds and your need for healing. Be unafraid and be unashamed and go for it. But notice what Jesus does. He not only heals, but he teaches. This passage began with his apostles returning from healing, casting out demons, and teaching. Don't come here to hide and get a break from your life. Come here and be fed by the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. Seek his teaching and his healing, because we live in a world that very often doesn't even know how broken they are, because we live in the United States of America, where happiness can be bought. But we all know you can't buy it, can you? But many will try. We live in a world where every one of us, in a matter of a few seconds, I can't because I left my technology in the sacristy, could pull up and see a lot of people that are really hurting, acting like they're not. That is not healthy. You cannot recover from your hurt if you just pretend it isn't. You can't find transformation of your life if you just go to the world where they will tell you that which you know needs to be changed in your life is okay with them. So hear the desperation of God's people and know that I bet every one of us carries some of that desperation in us, and know that Jesus will have compassion and he will bring healing and teaching. Come for the healing. Make sure you take on and take in the teaching, because brothers and sisters, we are the church, and now we are sent. Amen.